Let's go to Lord in prayer, okay? Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Father, we have many that are out of town celebrating the July 4th weekend. Keep them safe. Father, we also have many, many fires, whether it be in California or Arizona or New Mexico, other places. We have a fire that's close by as well that's increased in size, Father, that's not contained. I just pray, Father, please, that you put these fires out and protect properties and homes and people. And may we recognize the power of prayer in these matters, Father, for it's hot and it's dry and the wind blows and all the elements that only fuel the fire, but your hand can hold those fires back. So we give those to you. Pray, Father, please, that you speak through this message this morning, that we'll recognize you, Father, through your word and by your spirit, touching our hearts. And I pray, Father, please, that each one of us, Father, will be encouraged and recognize the challenges that we have as Christians today in a world that's getting darker and darker. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things about our country is our liberty, our freedom. But our freedoms are getting challenged. Our freedoms are getting compressed, if you will. Our freedoms are becoming less available to us. I want to give you a few examples of that this morning. And according to Mr. Diaz, a constitutional law scholar, says that government in Kentucky, a Christian minister cannot read the passages of the Bible that relate to homosexual conduct as a sin, or they would be in violation of the state's sexual orientation and gender identity policy. That's in Kentucky. The Ohio Board of Professional Conduct served notice to any judge with authority to perform marriages who has religious belief that prohibit him or her from participating in same-sex marriages, that they either violate their conscience or they look for a new line of work. J. Allen Sedculo from the Heritage Foundation wrote, "One of the greatest assaults on religious liberty and faith-based institutions in the history of America. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, mandate that non-exempt employers to cover things in their insurance like sterilization, prescription contraceptives, abortion-inducing drugs, related patient education, counseling service in their health insurance plans, and churches in themselves have escaped narrowly from these mandates on them as well. But countless religious employers, such as religious schools, universities, hospitals, charities, are forced either to comply with the HHS mandate in violation of their faith or to pay significant financial penalties." So we can see the compression of government regulations telling Christians that they cannot do these things, at least they have, you know, strong penalties. Bob Unruh, formerly with the Associated Press, currently with World Daily News, says that, along with many others, have noted that various branches of government have been using the term freedom of worship, right, instead of freedom of religion. Can we understand the difference? There's a difference of religion is a lifestyle, a practice. Freedom of worship is a location of worship. Okay? And so, and this is in contrast to our Constitution. This is meant to narrow what those with strict religious beliefs can do outside of the churches. They are implying that we have the freedom to worship in our buildings, but that we cannot practice our religion freely in businesses. Hence the persecution of bakers who do not want to make a wedding cake for gay couples. You know, even as a pastor in our incorporation laws and incorporations, especially in starting new church works, which we have done in the past, that you have to sign an agreement with the government that you will not preach on these issues, that you will not advocate a candidate for the presidency or any other office. And yet those were principles of the church that God used to highly influence society in early church periods. And yet we're not allowed to do that. The fact that I've read this stuff to you may be facts, but it's a thin line between presenting these things and preaching against them, because the stance is, in this introduction, is that this is something that's not right, something that we must uphold the scriptures, you know, in contrast to. And so even at that, as a pastor, I could get in trouble for that. And even at that, the consequences of presenting different things from the pulpit according to incorporation papers is that the government can actually lock our doors and remove our exemption and close the church. That's been in place a long, long time. So when we think about freedom and liberty in our country, especially for Christians, we have to understand that our Christian freedom is becoming less and less. But that's not anything that's new, is it? Because in times past, Christians have been pressed not to stand up for what is right biblically. God the Father has called us to live in the freedom of Christ our Lord. That's something that God has called us to do. We're to live in the freedom of Christ our Lord. There is a freedom when we're right with God. There is a power or empowerment that is when we're right with God. There is a latitude that gives joy when we're right with God. There is a courage that when we're right with God. And when we have those things in place because we yield to Christ, upholding his word, walking in with him and fellowship with him, then we have a freedom to stand up and be instrumental by God's hand to bear the truth of God's word. After all, what does Scripture tell us? That we are the salt and the light. If we're not going to stand on truth, if we're not going to stand as the salt and light in our community, in our world, then the world loses that much more hope. Because light reveals truth. Salt preserves against decay and destruction. And yet we see that around us. So that kind of, even though that's in our own mind from historical standpoints, is a natural thing, because Satan, frankly, is the prince of the air of this world. And he wants to develop everything he can to contrast against the truths of God's word. But you and I need to buckle up, gird up, whatever you want to call it, and be that much more stronger in our faith to stand, even with consequences. In Colossians 2:6-8, it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Great commandment. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." I'll be really, really, really candid with you. Over the years, we've had youth, even adults, that have been so influenced by the philosophy of the world against the principles of God's word on these issues that we just spoke about, that when we make the stand on what God says, that they are either up in arms or offended or frankly leave. Because we as a church are not to be conformed to the ways of the world. We're to be conformed and transformed into the image of Christ. And the word is the heart of Christ. It is the word, Scripture says the word became flesh and we knew him and we handled him. And so we're representing Jesus himself. We must recognize that what the leaders of America instill in the hearts and minds of Americans will either bring good or evil upon the country. So we need to understand that as the country implements these things that are against the ways of God, then what's happening is that it's setting up the stage for our country to have more evil in it, and more destruction. And so, again, you and I are the ones that need to stand. You and I are the body of Christ. You and I are engaged in a holy war. You and I are a part of the royal priesthood to help people come to a right relationship with God through faith in Christ, to see the right way, because philosophy of the world technically and historically continues to evolve. It doesn't stay the same. Why? Because philosophy of the world is not truth. God's word is truth. In Galatians 6:7-8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." I mean, God's not taking this lightly. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Our country, whomever, other countries, will reap what they sow, as we do in our own lives. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Every single human being has written on their heart God's moral code of ethics. And we either adhere to those moral codes of ethics that God has put on our hearts as human beings, or we sear our consciences and go the way that our flesh wants. It's contrary to the Word of God, and we reap the consequences, even if for a window there's pleasure. And so we have to remember that as we stand for God, we're standing for the moral values that God has given each one of us as human beings. It comes from His throne, the way He made us. In Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Have you ever had times when your heart just, you see things of your own character and you go, "Wow, that's ugly." And yet we understand that's our flesh. That's what that passage is talking about. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And so we need to take very seriously that what we decide to do as believers in Christ, God will honor us as we honor Him, and He won't honor us if we don't honor Him. God will give us strength to be courageous if we stand for Him, but we'll become, the only word that I know, forgive me, we'll become wimps for Christ because we're intimidated by the things that the world says we cannot do. God's called us to be strong and mighty, an army of God, to stand up bearing the torches of truth. And as unpopular as the truth of God's word is in our society today, it's still the truth. And the truth will never fade. It will never change. So our liberty in Christ does not give us liberty to deny God's word. Instead, we are to uphold it. Just because we're saved does not mean that we have the liberty to say, "I don't believe that in God's word," which is a contradiction in of itself, isn't it? But how many Christians do you know that say, "Well, I'm saved. I love the Lord. I know that I walk with Him. We're like two peas in a pod. But this passage does not apply today. That's not what God wants, because God is love. God is holy." Yes, God is love, but God is holy. And He has a holy standard. In Psalm 119, 41 through 45, it says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word." That's being the light and the salt, right? And knowing the word and making sure we stand on it. "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances," the word. "So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." You know what that's saying? I love you, Lord. I love your word. I will stand on your word, and in your power I will walk freely to proclaim you and your word. God gives that to us, but God also expects that of us. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme." Is that a contradiction that was just stated in the scriptures? I mean, I just said, you know, don't adhere to the philosophy of the world. But philosophy of the world is different from the government of the world. And we're to be good citizens in this world, as we talked about last week. Good citizens on earth and good citizens representing Jesus, where our citizenship is in heaven. So what we need to understand is that we're called in liberty to stand. And again, that we are to submit ourselves to the ways of government so long as those things do not supersede the authority of God, His word. God's word, God's authority, God's truth trumps world government. But as much as possible, staying in fellowship with God, we are to yield ourselves to what the government says. Or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now the world teaches today, and the implication becomes stronger and stronger and more intense in our society. The problem of intolerance is Christians. That's what's promoted. We're the ones that are immovable, praise God. We're the ones that are declaring that God's word is truth, and we're standing on it, praise God. We're the ones that are not going with the flow, but standing in the truth, praise God. But realize that like that rock in a river, and the river's flowing over it, it takes courage to stand strong. Not that the rock has courage, but you know what I'm saying. We've got to be willing to be solidified in our faith to stand strong in Christ against the current of the world that we live in. And the only way we can do that is by the liberty that we find in Christ. Again, the freedom that we have in Christ. The empowerment, the call, the wonder, and the joy of Jesus to say, I can walk with Jesus, I can stand strong, I can stand on truth, I can say this is right and this is wrong, not based upon my authority, but on the authority of what God's word says. That takes courage, because it's not the way of the world. And so we need to be able to stand strong. And so for this, the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. You know, a bondservant is a willing servant of God. You know, historically. You know, they can serve their time, servants can serve their time, and if they choose to leave, they can leave from that household, but if they choose to stay because they desire to stay and become family and all of that, then they become a bond servant. You and I are bond servants of Christ. We are of our own free will. Said, Lord, I am a slave unto Jesus. I am a bond servant to Christ. I am your servant, and it's my joy to serve you. That's the liberty that we have, the joy that we have to serve God. But we are not to take our salvation, our knowledge that we're secure, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, for granted. In that we can say, I know where I'm going when I die, therefore I can live the way I want. That's not what God says. I mean, I've run into Christians that oftentimes have not grown up yet in the Lord, and they mistake their freedom in Christ as a liberty to live contrary to his word, because they figure since they're saved, they can live as they choose. But a slave doesn't live as he chooses. A bondservant is under the authority of the master. And you and I are under the authority of the greatest, most loving, the kindest, the wisest, the most powerful master that there is, Jesus. But we have to be willing to yield our lives to the master. We have to be willing to say, Lord, you are my master. And oftentimes Satan whispers in our ears and says, you know what, if you yield your life that way, he may even whisper in your ear right now, you're going to be squinched and not be able to live the fullness of life that I want to live, or you're going to be robbed of joy. That's not God's word. That's not God's way. Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it abundantly. So as we yield ourselves to God and submit to him as a servant of Christ Jesus, we're not being robbed. He's giving us liberty, freedom. Again, to have that direction in life, that freedom in Christ, to be bold and to be strong, to be faithful, and to have the relationship that God wants us to have. I think in America today that we think that the more we put these restrictions on God's word, that the more freedom we'll have as a nation. But the result is, like the scriptures that we've covered this morning, is destruction and decay. And we have evidence of that in our country today, as well as other countries. That when a country or a people have decided that they do not want to follow the ways of God, then the end result is what they reap is what they sow, and it only brings destruction. But the enemy says in the middle of that, Hey, you do this, you're going to sail free. You don't have to worry about conscience. You're going to have fulfillment of the flesh. You're going to have whatever you want, and life's going to be good. It's going to be disastrous, in particular in the end, and you won't know spiritual freedom. We're looking at a contrast of freedom. But let's look at our country today, and in pursuing the things that are contrary to the Word of God, how broad is our freedom as a nation? How much is our nation becoming more focused on global socialism than being a nation of pride that stands in the truth of God's word and sees the blessing of God upon the country? God will not withstand the hardness of hearts and the disobedience of people that embrace evil as a country as opposed to the righteousness of God. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's like the one that I know. Hey, I'm saved, therefore I can live like I want. I can sin any way I want. God's blood has covered it. I am forgiven. You better watch out. You better watch out. Certainly not, Paul says. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? In Christ Jesus, sin has no power over us, no authority over us. In Christ Jesus, we can know the freedom over the power of sin because, in essence, our old man has died and we're no longer that old person anymore. We're made a new creature in Christ that has no influence from the sinful nature, but only by choice, the lust of our own flesh. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You know, people face their trauma and their trials and destruction and so many things in this world that you've heard from this pulpit oftentimes. But it's the ones that are walking with God, that know God, not just know God, but are walking with God, that have that sense of peace and assurance in the midst of all of it. It may be heartbreaking and wrenching and everything, but there's a resolve to say, God, you're there, you love me, you understand, you have a reason in all of this, and again you gird yourself up and you hold on to faith. And people see that. Is that not a reflection of spiritual liberty or freedom? That we're not bound by the situation, but we find freedom in Christ to find contentment even in times of disaster. James 1:25 says, Galatians 5:1, excuse me, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, God set us free from the power of sin, and so many Christians say, I want to just go back into it. And the stupidity about that is that it only puts us into a spiritual bondage. It closes in on our life. It robs us of the fullness that God wants for us. In James 1:25 it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, which gives freedom, for I have set you free, right? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You can come to church, you can hear the message, and you can forget it after lunch. I don't mean schedule-wise. I just mean we walk away, we go, what was the message today? And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to pull the truth of what God has shared with us and to kind of snatch it from us. But you and I, when we look at the scriptures, when we look honestly at ourselves, and we know what God wants, we're not to walk away from that and forget what God has said. We're to walk into that and hold what God has said and be what God wants us to be. And in doing so, we will be blessed. You know what blessed means? Happy. No matter what's going on around us, we'll be happy. So, well, Pastor, that's easy to say. Haven't we all been heartbroken? Yeah. Haven't we all been challenged by circumstances that overwhelm us? Most of us have. But as Christians, there's that assurance that the Holy Spirit says, I am right here with you. I have not left you. I love you with perfect love. I've got my hand on you in this situation. Your security is in me. Is that not blessed? Amen. Amen. And so let us not forget this familiar verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, the emphasis is my, doesn't Satan want to say, well, you get your eyes off of you as God's people, and you, if American people would just get their act together and stop embracing these things. It's their fault, not ours. We're the Christians. That's not what God is saying. God is saying, if my people, it's our responsibility to stand up on the truth. It's our responsibility to be that stone in the river that says that's wrong, and God says what's right. It's our responsibility to be willing to take the heat. Easy said, not easy done. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we can't be proud. We can't say to ourselves, you know what, it hurts too much, or it's too challenging, or the consequences can be too great for me to stand. That's pride. That's looking for our own well-being rather than the glory of God. And so if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Who's he talking to? My people. What have they done? They've turned to wicked ways. Christians that say, you know what? It is just progressive. It is just a good thing. It means that you're a mature, open-minded person when you embrace the things that the world is trying their best to convince us of to accept, even though it's in direct defilement of God's word. And as they embrace, as Christians embrace the things that God says no to, that's wickedness. And that's why he's saying, if my people will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not saying if the people of America will turn from their wicked ways, but if God's people will turn from their wicked ways. Because it's what God does through us. We are the body of Christ. We are that holy priesthood. We are that royal nation. We are that people that are called of God to represent the light and the salt, the truth of God, to be what God wants us to be, because God's planted us in a world of absolute darkness so we can uphold light. But darkness gets more dense as time progresses, and light must be that much more clear. You've heard me say it, and going into the state mental hospital, when I first went in there, I said, God, I'm kind of scared. It's kind of intimidating. And all the get smart doors closing. For those of you who remember Get Smart. Not. So we go in there, and God says, just remember, Terry, the darker the environment, the brighter my light shines. You and I are called to shine bright for God, but we're not to embrace the wicked ways of the world or even of our own lust, our own flesh. And it's hard. It's easy to say, well, I've embraced the wicked ways of the world. Well, I should say easier to say we've embraced the ways of the world, because that kind of focuses and points to the world and its corruptedness and its influence. It's another thing to say, this is my own flesh, my own sinful nature that I'm embracing. Can't blame it on anyone or anything except me. And so we need to turn from our wicked ways. Then, here's the promise. Then I will hear from heaven. Wow. If my people who called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Do we value the liberty and freedom that we have in America? We have, and we do, because it's not gone. But who does God say, his word, which is truth, say the responsibility lies on for the well-being of this country? Christians. We have to stand on truth. We have to turn from wickedness. We have to yield our lives to Christ if we're going to obey what God has commanded. the key to God continuing to bless us with the liberty that we have had in America in the past is dependent on God's people upholding God's word of truth, that we as a country may know the freedom and blessings of Christ. We were once a Christian nation. Now we are known as a post-Christian nation. We were once a nation that honored God, one nation under God. Now we're a nation that honors all different types of gods. We were a nation that was powerful and great. Yes, we're powerful and great today, but the hand of God in so many ways has been taken off of us. Why? Because the nation has turned away from God. Why? How shall our nation know truth if God's people, his body, doesn't bear it? It's through that and our prayers. We may be that remnant, but God said, look, if my people will repent, if my people will be humble, if my people will turn from their ways, if my people will be my people and call to me and yield to me, then I will heal. I will forgive sin. Look how great our sin is in the world. He says, I will forgive that and heal their land. Is there still hope for America? I got to be honest with you. I was just praying this morning. I said, Lord, forgive me. Because we can pray and pray. In prayer time this morning, I was praying, Lord, you know, heal our land. Bring it back. Help us to stand. All these things. And in my back of my head, kept saying, that's wishful thinking. It's not going to happen. Eschatology is telling me that the world's going to go down the tubes. But it does not mean that God can't work to reveal himself through his people in a nation. It does not mean that God cannot use us to be part of that which Scripture says in the last days there will be a great revival. God can use us, and we can believe this. And the challenging thing and the overwhelming reality and the humbling reality is that it depends on us as God's people. That is sobering, to say the least. And yet God has challenged us, but is it by your strength or my strength that we be God's people? No. It's by God's strength that we stand to be his people. But it's our heart that says, God, I want to be. And even though I can't in myself, I can through you. So forgive me, help me, and use me to be your people. Wherever you work, look for opportunities to represent Christ. Wherever your environment is, represent Christ. But you got to be geared up. You got to pray. You got to be humble before God. You got to say, I want to be in God's word every day. You got to hide it in your heart. You got to be prepared. And you know what? It's not as hard as you think. The hard part is the wrestling match in our own spirit that says, I can't do that. It's a warfare. The grace part is that God enables us with ease when we surrender to what he wants us to do. And so we can praise God for that. Praise God for the wonderful country we live in. It's still the greatest country in the world. That's not propaganda, that's reality. But the greatest country in the world has great threat against it. And we as God's people need to stand that much more for him. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for being the one that carries it to our hearts, that it's not just heard with our ears, but that our hearts hear the truth of your word. And as people, as your children, Father, let our ears and hearts, even our eyes, not be spiritually dull, but help our eyes to be spiritually clear, seeing the things of the world. Let our ears hear your word with a spiritual receptiveness. Let our hearts embrace and adhere to the truth of your word as you reveal it to us and live it as you've called us to. And may we be that joyful people that walk in such liberty, such freedom in Jesus, to be bold and powerful in Christ as your children, humble before you, faithful in you, that you will work through us to direct the hearts of this world back to you. But we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion at mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.